Barack Obama may be the first African-American to become president, but he was not the first to receive votes for presidential nod from a nominating convention of a major party. That honor is reserved for Frederick Douglass, who in 1888 received votes for the presidential nomination at the Republican National Convention. An outspoken abolitionist and civil rights champion, he was born into slavery only to rise and become one of the most prominent progressive voices of the 19th century. Storyteller and actor Bill Grimmett brings this leader to life in a one-man show around the country, including here at Salisbury University. We sat down with him to talk about Douglass and his performance.
I thought Frederick Douglass was just a former slave who had made good on his escape and became a speaker. But when I found out he had spent 20 years, the first 20 years of his life as a slave, and the last 57 years he was advisor to presidents from Abraham Lincoln all the way down to Grover Cleveland. I said, now how do you do that? So that was a hook.
Now his view of Lincoln, he certainly credited Lincoln with being someone who emancipated the slaves in the Civil War. On the other hand, he didn't look at Lincoln in any idealistic form. He realized, it seems, as if Lincoln had not only this plus side, but he was maybe a little late in coming, as it were, to the slave issue.
Well, I think Douglass was as much a politician as was Lincoln. And he was very well aware of the political scenario, and he knew what Lincoln's stance on slavery was before he even became president. Douglass wrote about it. But he also knew something that Lyndon Johnson later told Martin Luther King, that I can do anything, but you have to go out and make me do it. Well, Douglass knew that he had to give Lincoln some kind of cover. And so part of his diatribe against Lincoln, talking about his belated coming to the emancipation, part of that was political calculation, forcing Lincoln's hand, forcing Lincoln to do what he knew Lincoln wanted to do anyway, but didn't have the political infrastructure by which to do it.
Douglass's life after the Civil War was still consumed with the concept of equality, and not just simply for African Americans, but particularly for women.
You see, Douglass says that he owes his life to women, that his mother, his grandmother, his slave-holding sister, right? He goes right through the whole thing and says, wait a minute, women are responsible for who I am. Who am I to assign them to a lesser status when they have risen me up to this high status that I'm in? He was the only man invited to speak at the 1848 convention in Seneca Falls, New York, only because they understood where he stood on this whole question of women's rights. And the only time that they had this split was, of course, in 1866 and beyond, when the voting rights came up, and the opposition created this arbitrary split between African American and women. And, you know, Douglass said, listen, you know, I have to go. The slave has no power whatsoever without the vote. Women, at least for the most part, do have some power because they're married to men who have the vote. So given this situation, I've got to go with the African Americans.
If Douglass were today, what do you think he would think? I mean, obviously, we have the first African American who has become president of the United States.
His whole positioning about what has happened, since Reconstruction, would be, I think his position would be for us to continue to struggle. He had that word, agitate, but not against things so much as for things.
Before I let you go, can you do a little for us of Frederick Douglass? Just a few words of you. Go ahead.
Writing his first book, he talks about his experience as a slave. And he says, when slaves were selected to go to the big house, which was 12 miles away, they always sang as they walked through the woods. They could make the dense old woods for miles around reverberate with their singing, revealing at once the highest joy and the deepest sadness. They would compose and sing as they went along, consulting neither time nor tune. The thought that came up came out, if not in word, then in sound, and as frequently in one as in the other. They would sometimes sing the most pathetic sentiment in the most rapturous tone, and the most rapturous sentiment in the most pathetic tone. They were tones long, loud, and deep. They breathed the prayer and complaint of souls boiling over with the bitterest anguish. Every tone a testament against slavery and a prayer to God for deliverance from chains. I do not, as a slave, understand the deep meaning of those rude and incoherent songs. They told a tale of woe which was then altogether beyond my feeble comprehension. I was myself within the circle, so that I neither saw nor heard as those without might see and hear. And yet, it is to those songs that I trace my first glimmering conception of humanity.
Bill Grammatt, who performs a one-man show as abolitionist and civil rights leader Frederick Douglass. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Radio.